Welcome to Evening Chores, a podcast presented by Adobe Owl Ranch, which is my little homestead here in Hereford, Arizona. I hope you enjoy listening to it. Please hit the subscribe button and share it out to anybody that might be interested. And let me know what you think and anything that you might feel that it would improve the episodes or topics that you think might be interesting to hear about in the future. Thank you. Welcome. Thanks for coming along with me on my evening chores. This is a podcast presented by Adobe Owl Ranch. You heard an intro where you walk along, or I walk along, and you listen to me as I do my evening chores. And I hope that this microphone picks up okay without too much wind noise. So, if not, y'all let me know and I'll find a different medium. We're in a location where there's an awful lot of wind, and it's just not feasible for me to sit in the shop or something and do this podcast every evening. That's why it's named Evening Chores, after all, because this is the time that I have to do this. So this afternoon, or this evening, I thought as the topic that I would discuss, which is probably going to continue, this won't be a one-time thing, it'll be an ever-evolving thing as the animals that I have change. But I thought I would discuss the breeds and types of animals that I have and why I chose them, and why you should think through the kinds of animals that you have or the kinds of animals that you are going to get for your homestead or farm or ranch or whatever you're going to call it. And, you know, some of the ways that I thought it through here as well. So, let's see. I just walked into my little stable here. And I'm gonna, if you listen to an earlier podcast, smash up some bugs here, and then we will continue on. It's kind of gross, isn't it? Maybe I shouldn't talk about that anymore. Let me know in the comments. So, I just got a little problem in one corner here. So, the animals that I have on this homestead are mostly hogs and chickens, as far as, you know, livestock. Yeah, we got dogs and cats and all that, but what we keep around as an actual livestock, as you think about it, is not cats. Boy, this is off to a great start. I don't keep cats as livestock. I keep hogs and chickens. So, we started out with chickens, which I recommend kind of for everybody. I think chickens are a great, they call them the gateway animal. I forget exactly how that joke goes, but basically if you get chickens, then you realize this is not an impossible task. You know, it's not nearly as hard as what it is that everybody's told me or what I've told myself. You know, this is not some sort of a task that can't be done. So, just a regular old thing that you do, just like everything else in your life. So, you start with some chickens. And I think that's as far as a lot of people take it. Say, well, start with chickens. Well, first, there's two varieties, broadly. There's actually more than two. I guess I'll get into that. But there's two broad varieties of chickens, which is their purpose. Are they are you getting them for eggs, or are you getting them for meat? And there are some that do both, you know, dual-purpose chickens. And anything that does one thing really well, of course, is going to do that thing better than another thing, which does two things. So that's probably not super clear, but what I mean by that is a chicken, which has been, you know, genetically bred, it's not like they're genetically modified, but, you know, over time, somebody has bred those chickens to be a meat-producing bird. Well, they're not, they may produce eggs, or they will. I mean, if you get pullets, they'll eventually lay eggs for you if they live that long. You know, keep predators away and everything. But a lot of times, their survival instincts are different. Their still in the piglet water here, so I hope that's not too loud. The way in which they forage for food will be different. Their nutritional requirements will be different. And likewise, so that would be like the, on that extreme, for the meat bird side, would be the Cornish cross, which is if you buy chicken from the store, you know, regular big box store, you're buying a Cornish cross chicken. You know, if you buy a big normal chicken, as most people think of it, that's normal now. It wasn't normal 100 years ago. Those kind of birds didn't exist. The chicken was a completely different kind of thing. You know, it was the breast was much smaller. The whole bird was smaller. You know, it was an older bird. It had more flavor. You know, it was just a different type of thing. Now, you know, we think of the Cornish cross is the standard for meat birds, and they kind of are. I mean, they're easy to grow, and they don't have the best flavor by any means, if you're going for a good flavor in a chicken, but they are they're a good option for the meat side. And on the opposite end of the spectrum is probably something like a white leghorn. So you see those leghorn, it's just L-E-G-H-O-R-N. I've heard them, I always call them leghorn, but some people call them leghorns, I suppose. So, you know, that's the opposite end of the spectrum. So those chickens lay a lot of large eggs. When you pick one up, they don't weigh hardly anything. They're a tiny, you know, very, very light bird. They're flighty. They're not, you know, the super smart bird, even as chickens go, because they're on the extremes, and what they're good for is the one thing that they're good for. And if you want a lot of large white eggs, it's hard to beat a leghorn. If that's your only, you know, that's the one thing that you're choosing on, I'm not actually partial to white leghorns. Because for one thing, when they come to the end of their useful egg laying days, they're done. There isn't enough meat on a leghorn to be worth butchering in most cases. You know, it just isn't worth your time. So they, you know, and from the factory egg producers, they go off and they just get put in the landfill, I imagine, or composted or something. And then in the middle, between those two extremes, just in chickens, is all kinds of things. And I'm not even going to go into all the different names that I know, but as far as a chicken which will lay quite a few eggs, be a little bit brainier about how it goes about its life, and maybe doesn't get into as many bad situations as a leghorn. It's like a Rhode Island Red, you know, they lay a lot of eggs. Plymouth Rock, those lay quite a few eggs, and they're a bigger bodied bird, so you could eat those. I'm not saying they're the ideal dual purpose bird, but you know, they're a bigger bird. If you want to keep birds on a homestead, and you want to be able to kind of make your own breed, I'd say start with probably some Rhode Island Reds and some Buff Orpingtons, and get calmer chickens. Buff Orpingtons will often set, you know, so they'll hatch their own eggs, they hatch everybody's eggs. They're not choosy about what kind of eggs they set on. But if you are looking for a meat bird, which isn't a Cornish cross, there's all kinds of those, Freedom Rangers, and, you know, they're still a meat bird, but I know of some people who kind of have their own line of those, and they will, you know, propagate something that is on the meatier side of the spectrum. It's by no means a specialty meat bird, anything like a Cornish cross is, but. So, before you get chickens, you want to look at the reason that you're getting chickens. Don't just go into the store and say, I want chickens, you know, because you're going to get either leghorns or Cornish cross, one or the other, depending on the time of year, frankly. If that's your only thing, you just walk in and say, give me some chickens. That's what they'll do. So, most people want eggs, and I recommend, you know, if you're a normal family and you had 6 chickens, you know, and I'm saying normal, you know, you eat out a few times a week or a month, and you know, there's somewhere between, don't know, 3 in 7 people in your family. You know, that's what I mean by normal family. You know, it's not a... If you have a multi-generational family, that's awesome. But that's a different thing. But so you'll just need a few more chickens, depending on how many eggs everybody eats. Now, so you start out with, I don't know, 6 or 10 chickens. Don't get less than a half a dozen, because you can always give eggs away. And it's, you find out that you eat more eggs when you have chickens, because they're plentiful. So you eat a lot more eggs for breakfast, and you give away eggs to friends and family. And, you know, I'm sure somebody's going to whine about this, but if you feed eggs to your dog, they will look healthier. Their coat gets shinier. These piglets, they were just out, just laying over there, just cuddling, because they're piglets, and that's what they do. Right here, piggy. I just gave him some oats. I'm sure some horse out there is complaining that I'm feeding their oats to a pig, but these piglets really like oats, so. And they're orphans, so I want them to get whatever they like. They get a hog ration and some oats in with it, and helps them eat. So, I'll get to why I have some of the pigs that I have, and why some of the other ones just kind of showed up, but. Between 6 and 12 chickens, 6 to 10, you know, 8 to 12, somewhere in there. Expect that a couple of them are probably going to die. And so get a couple of extras. Because chickens are not extremely hardy birds, as it goes. And you might think, well, great, now I can go, I can grab some chickens, I'm set. I'll have eggs forever. No, stop before you do that, because you need to set yourself up a chicken coop, which I'd recommend making it mobile. You need to have a nest in there. You need to have a place to keep chicken feed. And I recommend an automated feeder. I have a video on my, I think it's on YouTube, either YouTube or Facebook, on the automated chicken feeder. So you only have to fill it every once in a while. Same with water. You know, at least in the summertime, make it where that water will self-fill via garden hose. You don't have to worry about that. And chickens need a place to roost. So have them a good roosting area. And have a place to keep your feed dry and away from rodents to the greatest extent possible. And, you know, it depends. There could be a few other things. If you live in extreme temperatures one way or the other, there'll be other things that you're going to do, but that's the general gist of things. You got to look at what kind of predators you have and avoid, you know, things that will allow those predators to get into your chicken coop as well. So if you have a lot of foxes or raccoons or coyotes, you're going to have a stronger fence down on the ground. Maybe invest in a electric fencer and put an electric wire around the outside, because that will keep a lot of critters out. If you have a lot of like avian predators, so hawks, eagles, things like that, you're going to have a top on your cage to keep the predators out. Do that before you go to town and buy chickens, because otherwise you'd be shocked at how quickly those things go from something that somebody says, oh, I'll just keep a few in my bathtub. I don't recommend keeping them in the house anyway, but they're going to outgrow that bathtub real quick. So, and I'll try to get together a few different ideas for backyard chicken tractors you might be able to do on the cheap. I know John Siskovich has, I think they're meat chicken tractors, remember, right? I haven't ever built any of those, but I keep planning to. But do a quick, search on the internet, whatever. You'll find several options on the chicken tractor idea. I recommend a rollaway nest, so when you go to gather eggs, you don't have to go inside the coop with your chickens. Because I don't see chickens as pets. I don't go out and pet them and, you know, pick them up, and I don't name them or any of that, so. If you have a rollaway nest, that means that you can go on the outside, on the back, if you set it up right, and they lay eggs on the inside, and you they lay in the nest, and it rolls out into a little tray. You lift up a little door, you bring your egg basket along, and you take all the eggs out without ever having to go in and deal with the chickens. Which means you can collect eggs in your Sunday best and not get dirty. And that's a pretty good benefit. So, what kind of chickens do I have here? Well, I've got a great variety. And my favorite chickens are the ones that have hatched on the premises. And which just means they're a mixture of... I don't even know what that rooster is, frankly. But he's kind of a medium to large size rooster. And I had some... I think they were production grays or something like that. Because the other thing I didn't talk about is price. So... if all else being equal, I'll choose the cheaper bird if literally everything else is equal. So I got some Rhode Island Reds, some, I think they were production gray, they were something like that. They kind of resemble a Rhode Island Red, somewhere between a Rhode Island Red and a Buff Orpington, and they're gray. So I got those. I got a bunch of white Leghorns because my local Tractor Supply is not great at keeping their chicks separated, so I've accidentally gotten probably 24 white Leghorns in with my Cornish crosses. So they wander around and do their wild thing. And I got some Plymouth Rocks or Barred Rocks, I can't remember, which are a black and white kind of speckled bird. Another one that I've thought about getting is Wyandottes. I think they're like white-laced Wyandottes or something like that. They're a black and white bird. And I really like Buff Orpingtons. I'd say keep some Buff Orpingtons around because they're calm. They're good setters. They're not crazy wild birds. They're a pretty ideal first-time bird. They're a dual-purpose bird, but very few people ever keep them for meat. It's mostly for eggs. And they lay a good number of eggs. Nice brown eggs, too. The other thing, if you're ever looking at selling eggs or even just giving them away, it's kind of fun if you get some Easter eggers. So Americanas or Araucanas, those are the ones that lay like, oh, pastel blue, green, sometimes I think some of them even come out kind of pinkish. Those really bronze eggs, the really dark brown ones. Look at those as an option. Those a lot of times are thinner birds also, so they're not necessarily a dual purpose. The ones that I've seen, at least, they're a pretty singular purpose breed. And just laying eggs. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like I said, you're getting those for variety in the egg color. I don't have any of those, but I think I'm going to add some this year, just out of curiosity to see what the eggs are. All eggs, though, are immediately under the outside layer of the egg, they're all white. So if you take an egg and you put a little vinegar on a cloth and you rub a brown egg, it turns white. It takes off that outside colored layer, so it doesn't actually make any difference there. They're all the same. And inside, it's all a matter of nutrition. What your chickens eat is how good your eggs are. So, that's for that. This year, I'm going to do Cornish cross again. And those will vary depending on where you get them at. But I'm going to get Cornish cross. So, I'll be doing Cornish cross for... meat birds again, and I'm also going to add turkeys this year. I've never raised turkeys before, so I'm hoping for good luck on that, but expecting the worst because I'm a pessimist. So hopefully the turkeys turn out good, and I chose I didn't get broad-breasted whites or bronze. I got the whatever you have at the end of the day because that was the cheapest version. Because I'm not too concerned about the pin feather color, which is the only difference that I could see between the two was what color the feathers were and how easy they were to pluck and how obvious they were if you missed a few. I guess that'd be it. Some people like one because they're easier to see the feathers. Some people like the others because it's harder to see the feathers, so if you miss a few, it doesn't matter as much, I guess, from what I can tell. So I went with a mixture... a straight run mixture, so straight run means it's however they hatched. It'll be some pullets, it'll be some males. So when a chicken, it's a cockerel or a rooster. Oh, and in turkeys, it's tom. I could couldn't think of Tom, so hens and toms. So a pullet is a young female chicken. A hen is a mature female chicken. And a cockerel, I think, is supposed to be a young rooster, if I remember right, but those might be synonymous, and a rooster being a mature male bird. And then I can't think of the word for a capon is a neutered male bird, which that's a meat specific thing. It's more popular other places from what I can tell than it is here in the States. But anyway, that's another option. You can't get them that way. Nobody sells caponized chickens that I know of, but you can get the kits and do it yourself if you want to. And so let's see, I think that's pretty much the breakdown on chickens. Get your chickens from a reputable place. Don't just go out and buy the cheapest chickens. You know, there's issues with genetics then. You can get crossbeak and a bunch of other genetic stuff, or you can have them show up with diseases. You don't want any of that. So get them from a reputable place, good spot. Or if you know somebody that has had chickens for years and years, either ask them where they get theirs or see if they hatch them out. Because if somebody nearby and they have an on-farm type mixture that they've been hatching for a while, well, those will probably, they work in the area that you're in for them, they'll work for you also, as long as you're wanting similar things. Hello, piggies. Thanks for sleeping over here in the trees. So. Now, I've been feeding them out in different areas, these hogs, so they can kind of get after some of the other areas of the paddock that they're in, so I can move them a little faster. I'll get into that in a later episode. So, fresh water, good quality feed, and, you know, keep track of your eggs. Don't let them sit out don't let them sit out there and stay there, because then your eggs can go bad. That's no fun at all. And a few things that smell worse than an egg that's going bad, so yeah, keep up with the collection of eggs as well. Oh, hello, pig. My sow, she's trying to say hello and get the feed as well. So that's how I chose chickens and the types of chickens and what I recommend. As far as other animals, I think I will hold off on describing how I would do what I looked for in pigs for the next episode, as that will let me think of another topic for later. No, really, it's just this podcast has gone on long enough, so I think I will be back with another episode for what other kinds of animals I have here and why I chose that type. And the purpose I have them for. So, I appreciate you listening. Please like, share, and comment. And if you hit the 5-star thing on iTunes or, let's see, I know I'm on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, of course, Anchor.fm, and there's a couple other ones that I've never used for podcasts that I saw that I've popped up on. So go to any of those, go to all of them, hit like, hit share, subscribe, whatever the thing is there, leave a rating, leave a good rating, you know, because those bad ratings, I don't think nobody likes those. So leave a comment for whatever you think could be done better, and I will see if I can implement those. And I appreciate you listening. Head on over to www.adobeowlranch.com or Adobe Owl Ranch on Facebook or YouTube or, I'm on Nextdoor, but that's only local. Any of the social media. And if I'm not on the one that you're on, well, hit me up and I'll see if I can make it over there. We'll see. Thanks for your time. Bye-bye.